Good morning, everybody. Today's passage is going to be from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Again, that is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. This is the word of God. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This passage is written by Apostle Paul, who is writing to his protege Timothy to encourage him in his ministry. There are a number of different ways that Paul encourages Timothy here in this passage, and my hope is that we as a church can also be encouraged through Paul's words as we continue through this Lent season together. Paul begins this chapter with a very important reminder, to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is not in our own conduct and efforts that we receive strength, though conduct and effort are very important, as Paul will later talk about. But it is the grace of Christ that strengthens us. This grace is the foundation on which our encouragement is built upon, that despite our shortcoming and our inability, Christ offers grace time after time through his death and his resurrection. And as we continue to fast in this Lent season, for those of us that are fasting, I hope that we can all, as Paul says, be encouraged and strengthened by this grace of Jesus. Not to use this grace as just a pardon for our shortcoming when we fall, but instead to be strengthened by it, to push forward into deeper relationship with and wholehearted service toward God. With this grace in mind, Paul then encourages Timothy with various nuggets of wisdom about how we ought to live as believers. In verse 2, Paul encourages Timothy to teach the gospel to others who are faithful, so that they may also continue to teach the gospel. I think this is an especially encouraging exhortation to our microchurch leaders, our family group leaders, and our ministry team leaders. We're to teach the gospel in a way that is contagious. When we teach the gospel in love and truth to others who are faithful, they also are to continue to teach in the same way. And in this way, a community's spreading of the gospel is not up to just its leaders, but it is contagious to the entire body, and the gospel message spreads exponentially to the ends of the earth in that way. In the next four verses, verses 3 to 6, Paul compares the life of a Christ follower with various vocations. The first of these is the life of a soldier. Paul calls us to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Our objective as soldiers is not to please anyone else but our commanding officer, who is Jesus. This may and definitely will at some point. It'll come at a cost, because the world many times won't take fondly of the message of Christ. But we are called to share in Christ's suffering. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8, verse 18, which says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And I think this is the beauty behind Christian suffering. Compared to the glory that we will see in Christ's exaltation, our suffering for it will seem so infinitely minuscule. Moving on to verse 5, Paul talks about an athlete and how the athlete doesn't receive a crown unless he competes according to the rules. In the same way, we as Christians can't make our own rules and think of our own truths. We must abide in God's ways, which lead to life. Sometimes we might bend some rules so that our lives can be a little bit more convenient, and then we might end up telling ourselves, oh, nobody's perfect, so God will understand. And I think this is an example of what Paul is getting at here. We are not to make our own rules, but we are to live according to what God says. The last comparison Paul makes with the life of a Christian is with the life of a farmer. Verse 6 says, "It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops." Here, Paul emphasizes hard work. Yes, the gospel teaches grace. Yes, it is not in our own work that we earn salvation. Yes, God's love remains steadfast regardless of our performance. These are all true. However, we are still called to hard work. If there is something or someone that we deeply love and deeply care about, wouldn't we want to put our best foot forward? In the same way, Paul exhorts us to work hard for God whom we serve. So far, Paul talked about suffering like the soldier, living in God's ways like the athlete, and also working hard like the farmer. All of this points to Paul's encouragement to Timothy and to us today to endure. Verse 10 says, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." It's evident here that Paul's endurance comes from the joy he experiences in the salvation of others and the work of the gospel moving forward. Paul was not encouraged by the comforts of the world or by people patting him on the back or by people recognizing his work. At the time of writing this letter to Timothy, Paul was in prison, was probably talked about badly by others because of his incarceration, and probably soon to be executed. Even still, Paul endured and counted the joy of seeing the mission of Christ being done. And this is what I want to encourage us with today. Let's continue to run this race as one church, especially during this Lent season. Let's continue to live like the soldier, like the athlete and the farmer, in suffering, in abiding in God's ways, in hard work. And amidst all this, let's find great encouragement and joy simply in seeing the work of the gospel being done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this reminder, a reminder to endure, to keep running this race. Lord, there are many temptations to try to find meaning and encouragement in, you know, people recognizing what we do, and various things like that. But Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged simply because the work of the gospel is continuing to be done. Just like Paul, Lord, despite our various circumstances in life, I pray that our joy would come from these things, from abiding in you and from seeing the gospel work being done in this world. So Lord, I pray that as we continue in this Lent season, help us to have endurance and to see the joy that is running this race together as one body. Yes, Lord, may you continue to remind us of this truth. Be with us for the rest of today and this weekend. May you be glorified in all the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.